All right, Tabosai, good morning. Let's begin. So we're picking up today's daf. Today's daf is Daf Tzadik Zayin 97. We are picking up on Daf Tzadik Vav Amud Beis, 96b. So what says we're going to pick up Emir Hashem by the two dots over here on Tzadik Vav Amud Beis. You have a lot to do today. Beautiful daf. Picking up 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 lines up from the bottom on 96b, Tzadik Vav Amud Beis. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Meir Omer Ba'avadim Omer Harei Shalcha Lefanach. Remember again, the Mishnah spoke about the case where a person goes ahead and steals an Eved. So the Rabbi Meir Paskin in the Mishnah that even if the Eved experienced some type of material change, it got older or got weaker, or it got older or it got weaker in a way like aging, which is an irreversible weakness. So Lemaisa, again, I don't mean that aging is an irreversible weakness. It means that aging is an irreversible process. So just like the weakness is an irreversible weakness, so Rabbi Meir says that when it comes to Avadim, you have the ability to say, I'm giving it back to you. Why? Because apparently Rabbi Meir holds that avodim are like karka. Thank you very much. That avodim are like karka. Avodim are like karka. Karka, land, can't be stolen. And therefore, you could just go ahead and simply give back the eved as is. He says the Gemara, Am Rabbi Chanina bar Abdimi, Am Rav Halach Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Chanina bar Abdimi said the name of Rav, that the Halach indeed follows Rabbi Meir, that avodim are like karka. And therefore, you could just return the Eved as is. So it says the Gemara of Rav, Shavik Rabbanan va'avik Rabbi Meir. Is Rav simply setting aside the position of the Rabbanan and passing like Rabbi Meir? And as Rabbosai, the Rabbanan in the Mishnah don't hold like Rabbi Meir. The Rabbanan in the Mishnah hold that apparently Avadim are not like Karka. And therefore, again, the Rabbanan we assume are normally the majority opinion. So how could Rav come along and just simply subscribe to the minority opinion of Rav, thereby totally discounting the majority opinion of the Rabbanan? Amrim Yishum de Braise Ipchotanya. Well, Rav had an opposite brisa. Rav had a brisa, Bosai, that recorded the opinions in an opposite fashion. And in Rav's version of the brisa, the Rabbanon were the ones who said that, in fact, what? The Rabbanans were the ones who said that Avadim are like Karko. So in reality, when Rav says Lachas like Rabbi Meir, he really means that the Lachas like the Rabbanan. But again, in Rav's version, it was the Rabbanan who held that Avadim are like Karko. So it says the Gemara Rav, Shavik Masisa Va'avik Ibraisa. But I don't understand. So now you're telling me that we have a Braisa and a Mishnah that record different versions of the same exchange, the same Machlokas. So you're going to tell me now that Rav is going to set aside our Mishnah for the Braisa? Rav Masnisa Nami Ibchatani. Well, Rav also had a different version of our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, in the version of the Mishnah that he had, the opinions were also reversed. So the Gemara says, "My time with Rav, the Apik Masnisa Mikamei Dibraisa, Ad Rabba Nepach LaBraisa Mikamei Masnisin." So also, the way the Gemara understands that statement is that Rav saw the Braisa and therefore changed around the Mishnah to be in conformance with the Braisa. Says the Gemara, "Why would Rav change the Mishnah to line up with the Braisa? Why not change the Braisa to line up with the Mishnah?" Both, in other words, what the Gemara is suggesting is the following: we know that one of the texts are corrupt. One of the texts are corrupt is made too strong. One of the texts has flawed attributions. So apparently it sounds like Rav is assuming that the Braisa is correct, the Mishnah is incorrect, and therefore he's changing the Mishnah to align with the Braisa. But why not do the opposite? Why not change the Braisa to align with the Mishnah? Amri, Rav Nami Masnisin Ipcha Asni. No. Rav also had, in his version of Mishnah, Rav didn't switch the attributions, but rather in Rav's version of the Mishnah, it was in fact the Rabbanon who held that our Avadim are like Karko, and therefore Lemais, again, that's how Rav's paskening. The Ibai is saying, with the other possibilities, Kilo Apech Chada Mikamechada. The other possibility we'll say is, you're right, under normal circumstances, we will not change a Mishnah based on a Braisa. So when you have one against one, if you have two alternate versions of a Mishnah and a Braisa, then what's going to win? The Mishnah is going to win. We'll say, because obviously a Mishnah always has superiority because the Mishnah is included, a Braisa is not. V'chada Mikamei Tarti Apech. This is interesting. However, when you have one Mishnah that lists attributions in a certain way, and you have two braisos. Go ahead. Wow, Mamish, you guys know something about my day that I don't. I mean, I'm a little bit nervous. That's why you can leave them all. It's all good. Just says the Gemara. Trying to cut back on caffeine in the Machiavello. Yeah, we do coffee pong after the. So says. So says the Gemara the following. So the idea over here is the following. When do you say that a Mishnah is primary? That's when what? When you have one Mishnah against one Braisa. But if you have two Braisas, I don't know what that is. I'm just saying a joke. So when you have two Braisos, however, that's what? When you have two Braisos that ultimately go up against one Mishnah, we'll say, then says Rav, we must pay attention to the Braisos in the face of the Mishnah. So we'll say, so what the Gemara is suggesting over here is, even if you want to hold that the Mishnah's attributions, as it's stated in front of us, are as the way they are, namely, that it's Rabbi Meir who holds, like in Eved is like Karkon, the Rabbanon do not, Rav would say, I have two Braisos that have different attributions. I have two Braisos that attribute the position that an Eved is like a Karka to the Rabbanon and not Rabbi Meir, and therefore I feel comfortable even reversing the Mishnah. We'll say, so one Braisa is one we just quoted over here. What's the other Braisa? This Sanya, this is actually a fascinating case. Hamachlif para bechamar v'yalda. V'china mocher shivchos v'yalda. So listen to this. So Rashi points out, we're dealing over here with the Kinyan Chalipin. So Kinyan Chalipin, remember, is a flip act of acquisition. So very simple. I want to enter into a transaction with Reuven. I have a donkey. Reuven has a cow. I want to acquire Reuven's cow. He wants to acquire my donkey. So in a classic case of Chalipin, what we would do is we would swap. We would swap. He would give me his cow. I would give him my donkey and Shalom Yisrael. The Kinyan of Chalipin says that once one of the parties acquires their object, then the other party acquires his object. But here's the chap. What's the chap? No matter where that object is. So for example, let's say my donkey happens to be right here, but Reuven's cow is in New York. So the halacha says that once Reuven acquires my donkey, he takes possession of my donkey, I acquire the cow wherever it is. Cow is mine wherever it is. Now listen to this case. In this situation over here, So let's say again it's Monday, Reuven takes possession of my donkey, therefore I acquire the cow. And we'll say, what's the issue? The cow is pregnant. The cow is pregnant. So what happened? So now the cow gave birth. So I make my way up to New York today. I see Mazel Tov, right? There's a little kafala sitting right over there. So what's the shayla, Bosai? The shayla is, well, when did the cow give birth? Did the cow give birth prior to the act of Chalipin? In which case the calf belongs to Reuven? Or did the cow give birth after the Chalipin, in which case the cow belongs to me? Now, obviously, the cow, we weren't there. So listen to this case. And Bosai, by the way, the Gemara is just giving that same case twice. Same applies with the Shifcha. The Shifcha gives birth. Same case, I was acquiring a Shifcha. She gave birth. Did she give birth before the Chalipin or after the Chalipin? So says the Gemara, watch this. Ze omer birshusi yalda. So Bosai, case number one is where if Reuven says, Reuven was the owner of the cow or owner of the Shifcha, if he said, look, the cow, the Shifcha, gave birth before the Chalipin, so therefore the offspring is mine, v'ala shosek, and I'm quiet because I just simply don't know. I mean, I don't know one way or the other. I can't make a counterclaim because I have absolutely no idea whether or not Reuven is correct. So what's the halacha, Bosai? So zachaba. So ultimately, again, obviously, Rabbi Bosai, in any case, when one person makes a definitive claim and one person says, I don't know, not in any case, but in many cases, the person who's making the definitive claim ultimately wins. So in this case, if Reuven is saying, I know definitively, obviously, you'd have to prove that to a certain degree, then halacha lemaisa, he acquires the calf slash the offspring. Ze omer eini yodea, ze omer eini yodea. If Reuven says, listen, I don't know, and I say, I don't know, then what's the halacha? Yachloku. Then Rabbi Bosai, at the end of the day, we split it. Because again, neither of us know, was the calf born before Chalipin, after Chalipin, so we split the value of the calf. Ze omer birshusi, vizom birshusi. Oh, Bosai, listen to this. Let's say both Reuven and I make definitive claims. Reuven claims the cow gave birth before Chalipin. I claim the cow gave birth after Chalipin, and we're both certain in our claims. Then what? Yishava hamocher shebirshusa yalda. So we'll say, in this case, Reuven, who was the mocher, the seller, the owner of the object, he takes a shvua that the cow gave birth while in his rishos. Lefi shakala nishbo'en shebatora, nishbo'en velo masham div Rabbi Meir. Because we'll say, all those who go ahead and take an oath, they take an oath in order to exempt themselves from paying. So in this case over here, because we have a machlokes, the way we resolve the machlokes is that Reuven the Mocher takes a shvua. If he swears that the animal gave birth while in his rishos, or the shifcha gave birth before the act of Chalipin, then in fact, again, we give the offspring to Reuven, and that's it. Right, the Chacham say, we'll say, now here's, we brought this whole recipe down just for this piece. The Chacham Omrim, a nishboin lo ala avodim v'lo ala karkos. Oh, and we'll say, what did the Chachamim say? The Chachamim say, no, that's fine. That psak halacha works fine with a cow, but it does not work with avodim, bless you, with avodim, with karkos. Why? Because, say the Rabbanon, we don't take shvuas on karko and on avodim. Why not avodim? Because avodim are like karka. Now, I will say, now why we don't take shvuas and karka and avodim, not our topic for today. We'll see it in Bava Metzia, as she quotes. But that's the halacha. We don't take shvuas on contested karka. And the Chacham on record are saying that an eved is like karka. So says Rabbi Meir, here you have two explicit braisos that both go ahead and say what? That both go ahead and say that the position of the Rabbanon is that an eved is like karka, and in both of those braisos, Rabbi Meir does not hold that way. So therefore, it leads Rav to say, I think that the Mishnah is a flawed attribution. That when the Mishnah attributes the position that an eved is like karka to Rabbi Meir and not to the Rabbanon, it's a mistake. How can you say that it's a Mishnah against Braisa? No. It's not a Mishnah against one Braisa, but rather what? It's a Mishnah against two Braisos. And Rav says, therefore, I feel comfortable enough saying that therefore, again, the Mishnah is flawed and the Braisos are authoritative. Amazing. So says the Gemara, well, if that's the case, if that's the case, then why did Rav, when Rav was introduced in our Gemara, why did Rav say the halacha follows Rabbi Meir? Rav should say what? The halacha follows the Rabbanon, then it ever's like Harko. To which the Gemara says, "Haki kamar lemay dav chisu v'tanya halacha k'Rabbi Meir." To which Rav says, "Well, according to you guys who messed up the Mishnah, the halacha is like Rabbi Meir. In other words, according to you who have this flawed attribution of the Mishnah, in the Mishnah the way it's stated over here in Tzadik Vav Amud Beis, the halacha follows Rabbi Meir because Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah records that what that an eved is like karka. But by the way, your attributions are flawed, and in fact, who you think is Rabbi Meir is in fact Rabbanon. Amazing." Type of Tzadik Zayin Amudaf, 97a. Umi Amar Rav Avdo Kime Karko Itami. But Rabbo said, does Rav really hold that an Eved is like Karko? Meaning, does he really hold of that position? V'ha Amar Rav Daniel Barav Katino Amar Rav. Be'at Rav Daniel Bar Katino sitting with Rav the following. Hatoke, this is a fascinating Gemara. Fascinating. Hatoke Ba'adlo Shachavera Va'asuba Malacha Potter. Listen to this. I go over to Reuven's Eved. Reuven's Eved. This is Reuven's Eved Kenani. I go over to Reuven's Eved Kenani. Tokef literally means I grab him and I force him to do work for me. So we'll say, so what's Talacha? Potter. I'm Potter. Now what does Potter mean? What does Potter mean in this context? So Rashi says, Potter milashalim leba'alav schoro. So we'll say, Potter means, of course I have to give back the Eved because the Eved is stolen. But what don't I have to do? Let's say I used Reuven's Eved for 2 hours. I don't have to pay him for the work for those 2 hours. Amazing. So it says, Digimar Bisakadai Tcha Abdi Kimekakoi Domi. But if you hold like an Eved is like Karka, and I both say, remember, if you hold, now let's file this for just a moment. If you hold like an Eved is like Karka, then what? Can an Eved be stolen?
No,
because Karka can't be stolen either. See, if you hold like an Eved is like Karka, therefore Karka can't be stolen. Am I Potter? Why should you be Potter for the work you did for the Eved? Bershusa de Marika. I mean, I understand if you told me Avodim is not like Karkos. So I understand then that essentially you could construct a case where I steal Reuven's Eved, and to a certain degree I acquire Reuven's Eved. I acquire it. And therefore, again, what's the halacha? The halacha is, as we've established in the Mishnah, every any stolen item that is in existence, extant, and it hasn't really materially changed, you're obligated to give back as is. I understand that. But if you hold that an Eved is like Karka, Karka can't be stolen, that means that when I was using the Eved was still in the Rishus of the original owner. If the Eved was still in the Rishus of the original owner, then what? Then I should have to pay for the 2 hours of work that I got from him. To which the Gemara says, amazing. No. I didn't really deprive Reuven of anything. Why? I took the Eved after hours. So the Eved, look at Rashi, Shelo b'shas malacha, b'shah she'in orag yalasas malacha, o she'in achshav lebal of malacha lasos, d'zenene ve'ein ze chaser hu patr. Well, listen to this wild answer. The Gemara suggests over here that what's the case? Yes, I'm stealing Reuven's Eved to do work. And what? And I'm going to be Potter. Why am I Potter? Because Rabbi said this is going to be a case of zenene v'zeh eno chaser. I'm getting benefit, the person who stole it, and Reuven's not losing anything. Rabbi said, now why is Reuven not losing anything? Watch this, it's amazing. Ki ha d'shalach le Rabbi Abba lemari bar mar. Because we'll say, this is like what Rabbi Abba sent to Mari Bar Mar. Ba'i minei Rav Huna. Hadar b'chatzar chaveiro shelo midaito. Tzarech la'alos lo schar o in tzarech la'alos lo schar. So listen to this. I live in my friend's house without his knowledge. Do I have to pay him rent or not? Do I have to pay him rent or not? So, you know, my friend has a nice house, you know, on the water. It's Labor Day weekend. I know he's not going to be there, because he's going to spend his day off learning. So I figure I'm not such a chassid. I'm going to go use his house on the water. So what happens? And again, so I'm using his house. Do I have to pay him rent or not? He's not using it. I'm not depriving him of anything. Do I have to? And let's say assume I keep the lights. I don't even use electricity. Nothing. Right? I'm just sitting in the house, relaxing and enjoying. Do I have to pay him rent or not? So what's the halach? The halach is rabos. I don't have to pay him rent. Now we're going to qualify this. I don't have to pay him rent. Right? Why? So the Rabbos say, now Rashi points out over here, now the Gemara sets this up as a case where this is not a home that's normally rented out. So meaning, I'm not depriving Reuven of rental income. You see, if I was living in his home, and this is a home that he normally rents out to others, and I'm taking advantage of it for free, I'm depriving him of rental income. He doesn't rent out this house. He uses the house himself, and I know for a fact he's not using it today. I'm going in without his permission. Do I have to pay him rent or not? And they paskin, the halacha is you don't. Why, Rabbosai? Now again, we're simplifying. This is a much more complicated case that we will deal with. But just the basic principle is, zenehne v'zeino chaser. I am benefiting, and Reuven is not losing anything. Why is Reuven not losing anything? Because A, it's not a rental property, and B, he's not using it that day. He's not there that day. There, so because it's a, now, boss, I want to be clear. The halacha is not encouraging this behavior. It's still meaning it's still bad. Don't do it because it's still a shtickel gezela. But the shaila is, do I have to pay anything? And the answer is because it's zenana v'zeino chaser. Therefore again, I don't have to pay. Now, the Gemara is assuming that this, therefore, is the same principle. When I go over to Reuven's Eved, I take his Eved Kenani, who's after hours. He's not working now. Either it's after hours, or I just happen to know Reuven has no work for this Eved. I take him, I pull him to my field, I have him do 3 hours of work. The halacha is, I don't have to go ahead and pay Reuven anything. Why? Zenana, I'm getting benefit. V'zeino chasa, Reuven's not losing anything. Says, how can you compare those cases? So we'll say, you see, here's the difference. In the case where I live in Reuven's house, the reason, and he's not there, the reason I don't have to pay him any rent is for two reasons. Either A, because we'll say there's a concept of Besa Mesav Yasiv Nechale. People like it when their homes are inhabited. In other words, I will say, there's a general principle that it's not good for homes to be uninhabited. Look at Rashi. Beisa Mesav Yosef. Zehadar Besocha Haneo Labai Zeshum Yusha Bidurin. It's good for a home to be inhabited. Why is it good for a home to be inhabited? Because, you know, sometimes if a home is uninhabited and something goes wrong, so what happens? There's no one there to see what's going on. So therefore, if there's people in the home, again, even if I didn't ask them to be there, so again, there's a benefit. Furthermore, Bein Laman Da'amar Vishaya Yukas Shar. So we'll say here, the Gemara Ushia Yukasha, I'm sorry. So we'll say the Rabbi Yeshaya makes a statement over here that there is a shade whose name is Shia. And Shia apparently goes ahead and inhabits uninhabited places. So if I'm living in Reuven's beach home and he's not there, my mere presence drives away Shia. So the Gemara says, therefore, there's an objective benefit that I am visiting, meaning even though it's not just that by the case of where I live in Reuven's home and he's not there, not only is it zenana v'zeino chaser, not only am I benefiting and Reuven's not losing, but one could actually make the argument that what? That maybe there's even like a shtickle benefit to Reuven in the fact that I'm there. But over here, I will say, when I take Reuven's Eved and I put him to work without Reuven's knowledge, what benefit is there in that to Reuven? If anything, what? If anything, I am weakening the Eved, right? I'm causing the Eved to do more work. Whether I'm objectively weakening him in a total state, or I'm making him a little bit more tired, he won't be able to function as well the next day. But Lamais, I'm actively diminishing the Eved. Both say, this is amazing. Amri hachanam in lechanei, delo listri abdir. Both say, listen to this. Delo listri abdir, Rashi says, shelo yilamed darche batala. That Rabbos say, no, it's good for the Eved to what? It's good for the Eved to have as little free time as possible. Because the more free time the Eved has, the more of a man of leisure he has. Rabbi Osai, the Lalisere Avdei is not just a din for Eved Kenani. It's also a din for an Eved Hashem. I'll say, the worst thing a person could do for themselves in life is have too much free time. Free time is the nemesis of the Jew. Free time is the arch enemy of the Jew. Unstructured, productive time, Rabbi Osai, is the Yetzer Hara b'chvodo u'be'atzmo. It's the lolisri, as Rabbi Osai. Again, it doesn't mean a person shouldn't relax. Of course, a person should relax. But even relaxation should be structured. How much time am I relaxing for? What am I doing during that relaxation time? Everything in a Jew's life has to be structured, and time, more than anything, has to be structured. So listen to what the Gemara says. If you go ahead and Reuven's Eved, has got a little too much free time on his hands, trust me, says the Gemara, you're actually doing Reuven a favor by taking his Eved and going ahead and putting him to work in order that he not become a leisurely Eved. The Lalisri Abdi. I must say, if you notice, by the way, over here, the Lashon of Listri is Shalom Yom Adarche Batala. Listri is so serious, is destructive. I must say, when a person becomes too accustomed or too habituated to leisure, that is destructive in nature. Adam La Amal Yulad. I must say, life is not about relaxation. As Zom Silas Yisharm, everything has to be structured. Bei Rav Yosef. So we'll say that. And indeed, the Gemara is actually quoting this halacha l'maaseh. Again, I want to be clear. The Gemara is not encouraged. You should never take something from someone. Never take something from someone without their permission. Also, you know, this is why parents often wonder, as children often wonder. Often in yeshiva, the first Gemara that will teach boys is what? Is Eilu Metzius. Now, we'll say, now, the truth is, so those of us who began our career in Gemara, with Eilu Metzius, the truth is, none of us have fond memories. None of us have fond memories. Why? Because, I'm sorry? Americans. Those on this side of the pond, right? Don't have the fondest of memories. Why? You know what? That's beautiful. All right, so Halavai, we should be our children should be zochet to your experiences, because the truth is, it's not like a very exciting Gemara. It's not a very exciting Gemara. The truth is, and it's a lot of details. So why do we start kids at the Eilu Metzius? We'll say, because what does Eilu Metzius teach you? Eilu Metzius teaches you a responsibility to the property of others. Because what's the first thing we try to teach young children is, be careful with what you put your hands on, right? Be careful with other people's property. Be careful with other people's stuff. Because if you could begin to sensitize children to being careful with other people's possessions, then the next step is what? Be careful with other people's feelings. Be careful with how you treat. That's the whole thing. The whole thing we start with our conditioning our children is how you treat the other. That's all. That's what it's about. So therefore, again, I want to be clear. The Gemara is not advocating for me taking Reuven's Eved. Because again, I'm still taking something that's not. It's not good. The Gemara is just looking in legalese. So in a legalistic structure, if I took it and I used him, am I chayiv? And the answer to that is no. Because at the end of the day, assuming that I've not deprived him from working for his master, I've actually done something positive because I've reduced the leisure time of the Eved. The Gemara says, "Bei Rav Yosef Bar Chama, Habutokiv Avdei Di Inshei Demasek Beizuzeg VeAvdi Buhumalacha." So we'll say, indeed, in the home of Rav Yosef Bar Chama, they used to go ahead and take the avadim of people who owed them money and would do malacha with these avadim. Now, we'll say, in the same type of context, ultimately, again, where the Eved wasn't otherwise working, in order to keep the Eved not bottle. Amali Rabba Berei, my time Avid Marhochi. So Rabbi's son said to his father, why are you doing this? Amali Amrav Nachman Avda knows Krisa Lo Shavi. Because people say an Eved, he's not even worth the bread in his belly. In other words, that Avadim in general, Rabbosai, are lost leaders. That the Eved takes a lot of money to sustain him, but at the end of the day, often does not produce his value. So therefore, again, I'm actually doing the master a favor by squeezing a little extra work. So to which Rabbi responded, Eima da Amr Rav Nachman ki gon daru avde. Maybe when Rav Nachman made that statement, he was talking about his own Eved Daru. Because what did Daru do? Well, it's actually quite interesting. What did Daru do? Dimarakid bekuvi. So let's say, apparently Daru used to cut out on work to go to the local tavern and he would dance for drinks. So he used to like, I guess his Rebbe didn't give him enough, alcohol. So he would cut out and working in the field, and he would go, he would be like a jester in the tavern, and he would go ahead and he would work for money for drinks. But again, kulu avdu me'avid avdi, but other avadim perhaps do in fact work their value. Amrali anar kav Daniel savirle. Damrav Daniel barav katina amarav hatokif ba'avdo shachaveir va'asiba malacha pater. To which Rabbi Yosef Yosef said, well, I hold like Rav Daniel, and Rav Daniel held that a person who takes the avid of another and does malacha with it ultimately is potter. Why? Because the assumption is that a master is happy if his avid is not idle. To which Rabbi responds, he said, Father, here's the only problem. You're taking avadim from people whom you lent money to. So here's just the only issue. Say, let's say we subscribe to Rav Daniel's principle, which is that as long as the Eved is not doing any work for his master, you can in fact go ahead and take that Eved from its master, work the Eved, and not have to pay the master any money. Why? Because you're doing a benefit for the master by not allowing the slave to be idle. But you, Father, are taking an Eved from people whom you lent money. You know what that looks like? That looks like ribis. That looks like interest. It looks like you're going to get more than what the money that you lent, because you're getting the extra service, ultimately, of using the Eved. Because Rav Nachman said, even though we just said before that what? If you live in someone's property, assuming that it is not a rental property, and the owner himself is not using that property. So again, I go to Reuven's home. I use the home. It's a zenene v'zelochas. So I'm benefiting. Reuven's not losing anything. I don't have to pay Reuven any rent. So he'll go v'dar b'chatzer chaver. It's arach la'alos lo schar. But yet Rabbi said, the halacha is, if I had lent Reuven money, and now I go to use his home, right? And he's not there. Again, same case, Zen and Avizolochatzer, I do have to pay him rent. Why, Rabosai? Why? Because the fact that I lent him money and now I'm using his house, it could be construed that the usage of the house looks like ribis, looks like interest, and it's not interest, but it looks like interest. Therefore, to avoid that, I do have to pay him for the rental. Amrale Hajibi, to which Rav Yosef responded, my son, that's an excellent point. I'm no longer going to follow this practice. In other words, again, if I do end up taking the Eved of someone whom I lent money, I will not take the Eved anymore out of concern that in fact may look like Ribis. So we'll say again, this, we'll get into these sugyas in Bava Metzia, or Bava Basra as well. There's Ribis and there's Mechsek Ribis. This is not really a Ribis case, but because it has the appearance of Ribis, therefore Halacha L'maisa, again, one would not do it. So both sides. So what comes out from this sugya is number one, that the Rabbanon are the ones who hold that Avadim are like Karka, not Rabbi Meir, because they're going to say we're going to go with ultimately Rav's change. And again, we've established also that L'maisa, it appears that if one uses the Eved Kenani of another at a time that the Eved Kenani is not doing work, then one would be obviously obligated to give back the Eved Kenani, but would not be obligated to pay for the work. Why? Because the assumption is it's a Zanana v'zelo chasra. I'm benefiting, the owner of the Eved is not losing anything. Why is the Eved not losing anything? Because it's a benefit for the Adon, for the master, that is Eved not be idle. And it seems to be the same yisrael would be if I live in someone's home that's not a rental property, it's a Zanana v'zelo chasra, and therefore I don't have to pay for it. It says the Gemara Itmar, Hatokif sinas shel chaver, I take somebody's boat, va'asaba malacha, and I use it for work, right? I use it. I generate some type of malacha from it. So Amarav, ratza scharanota, ratza pishanta. Suppose now I have to give back the boat. So the shayla is not that I have to give back the boat, but Rav says, I either have to pay the amount that it would cost to rent the boat, or now pachsa rabosai can mean either damages or depreciation of the boat. So according to Rav holds that lemaisa, the owner of the boat, has the ability to collect the higher of the two values. Either the amount that it would cost to rent the boat, or the amount of depreciation / damages. And that's at the discretion of the boat owner. On the other hand, Shmuel Amar Einu Nota Ela Pachsa. Shmuel says, no, the owner of the boat only gets depreciation / damages. Amar Papa. Rav Papa says, Rav Mishul, I'm not arguing. Lo pligi. Ha, da'avid la'agra. Rav Papa says, one case is talking about a case where the boat was rented out. So in a case where the boat was rented out, that's where Rav says the owner could take either the rental or depreciation or damages amount, versus Shmuel's cases where what? Where Lemaisa, again, the boat was not normally rented out. So because of that halacha lemaisa, again, the owner only has the entitlement to the damages / depreciation. So the Gemara says, V'baisim, with the other passage, the first one, then Rabbo say, Hava adavi dele igra, both cases could be where what? Where the boat was normally rented out, had the nachis le'adaita de igra, but had the nachis le'adaita de gazlanusa. Rabbo say, one case is where the person is taking it with the intention of renting it, he just didn't have a chance to formalize the rental agreement beforehand, so he's taking it, and then he'll pay the rental afterwards, versus the second case where the maisa what? The person is taking it with the intention to steal it. Now, both say, this presupposes we know the intentions of the individuals. Fine. Says the Gemara, gazal matbea benistak. So we'll say, remember again, the Mishnah said that if I stole a coin from Reuven, benistak. Literally, benistak means that what? It cracked. So what's the halacha? I have to pay back the coin in accordance with its value at the time that I stole it. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, nistak mamish, nifsal, pasalto malchus. So what's Rav Huna said, that nistak cracked, literally means that the coin cracked. And the case of nifsal, where the coin was disqualified, that's a case of pasalto malchus. Right? So that's a case, ultimately, again, where the monarchy went ahead and disqualified it. Monarchy disqualified it. So Rashi says, Pasalto Malchus, Hamelech Tziva Shelo Yetzei, Lo B'Medina Zu, For Lo B'Medina Acheres. I both say, the king said that this coin does not work. It's totally removed from circulation, both here as well as anywhere else. But Rabbi Huda says, Pasalto Malchus Nami Hainu Nistak. So Rabbi Huda says, no. Rabbi Huda says, if the coin is literally unusable because the king has taken it out of total circulation, then that's the equivalent of what? That's a Nistak case. Because Rabbi Huda says, what's the case of where the coin cracked? The case of where the coin cracked is where what? It's no longer usable for currency. So therefore Rabbi Huda says, if the coin was cracked or if the king said this is not usable anywhere, then a coin that's not usable anywhere is equivalent to what? To a coin that's cracked. Both are totally unusable. So therefore, also remember there are two cases. There's a case of nistak and nifsal. So Rav Huna wants to say the case of nistak means it's cracked. The case of nifsal is where the king said you can't use it anywhere. Rav Yehuda said if the king said you can't use it anywhere, then that's a case of nistak. So what's the case of nifsal? Heichidami nifsal. Shepasalt medina zu. So therefore, Rabbi Huda says the case of Moshe of Nifsal is where what? You can't use it here, but what? You can use it elsewhere. So the Gemara says, "I'm only Rav Chista Rav Huna Lidi Dach." So Rav Chista said to Rav Huna Lidi Dach. So Rav Huna, according to you who said that the case of Nifsal is where the coin is just totally removed from circulation, so therefore we saw in the Mishnah the case of Osev where you stole fruit and they rotted, or wine and it turned to vinegar, that Rav said that is the equivalent of a coin that's totally taken out of circulation, and yet what's the halacha? The halacha is that you have to pay back the fruit and the wine in accordance with their value time. They were stolen. Yet Rabosai, the Mishnah said that by a coin that was nifsal, what can you do? You can give back the coin and say, Arei Shalcha Lefanecha. But according to you, Rav Huna, who says that ultimately a case of nifsal is a case where it's totally been removed from circulation, that should be the case, like a case of where what? The fruits rotted or the wine turned to vinegar where they're no longer usable for anything and you have to pay kisha sakazela. To which the Gemara says, so to which Rav Huna will respond, the difference is in that case the fruit and the wine have changed in both their scent and taste. Hachalo nishtana. Rabbi said, this case, even though the king said you can't use it anywhere, lemaisa again. Lo nishtana. Lemaisa, at the end of the day, it has not physically changed. Amali Rav Huda. So Rav asked Rav Huda, Lidi dach damar pasalta malchus name haministak. So according to you, who says that the case of where the king totally removes the coin from circulation, that's equivalent to the case of where the coin cracked. Hari truma benitmes tchi pasalta malchus dami. So both say in the case of where the truma ultimately went ahead and what? I'm sorry. Harutruma minitis, a case of truma that became tame. Rabbi said that should be the equivalent of where, that should be the equivalent of a coin where the king totally took it out of circulation. It's not good for anything. And yet what? Vekatani omer lo arish shachalafanecha. But Rabbi said in the case of tame truma that I stole, a case of truma that I stole from the coin that became tame. What could I do? I could simply give back the truma to the coin because look, the truma is unchanged. The difference over there in the case of the truma that became tameh, the damage is unrecognizable. Hacha min karzeka. Rabbi say everyone knows about coinage, and therefore a coin that has been removed from circulation, everyone knows that what? That you can't use it. Itmar. So Rabbi say, so this is the fundamental machlokas. So just so you know, the way that Rambam paskins, Rabbi say, is like Rabbi Yehuda. It's like Rav Yehuda. Namely, again, Rabbi Osai, that halacha lemaisa, if the coin became cracked, you have to pay back in accordance with the value of the coin at the time it was stolen. If a coin was taken out of circulation, total circulation, enachinami, we pass in that that's the equivalent of what? Of a coin that has cracked. What's the case of Pasalto? Where ultimately, what's the case of Pasalto? Rabbi Osai, the case of Pasalto, where the Mishnah paskins, that you could just give back the coin and say, Reish Lachala Fanecha. So Rabbi Osai, that's the case where what? The coin doesn't work here. It's not good here, but what? It is usable elsewhere. So because it's usable elsewhere, ultimately, again, the Ganav could say back to the owner of the coin, here's the coin back, Reish Lachala Fanecha, and I've discharged my obligation. Rabbi Osai says, Zigmar Itmar, this is an interesting case. Hamalas Chavera Alamat Beya. If one goes ahead and lends his friend, Rabbi Osai, the case over here is, I'm lending my friend produce, alamat beya. Alamat beya says, I'm lending you a ton of wheat, and I don't want to get paid back in wheat, I want to get paid X value. So but that value is linked to a particular type of coins. So I want you to give me 100 zuzim. For argument's sake, 100 zuzim, right? So I'm giving you a ton of wheat, give me 100 zuzim. So what happens? I will say, oh, v'nifsa matbea. I will say, in the interim, what happens? The coinage that I was supposed to get paid back, and what happened? I will say, the coin became disfavored. It was taken out of circulation. So what do I do in this case? Rav says, no se lo matbea, yot se bosa shal. So Rav says, okay, yeah, Reuven has to pay me back with what? With currency that is usable at the time of the repayment of the debt. So again, we transfer zuzim into whatever the contemporary currency is. Ushmuel Amar Shmuel says, Yoko Lomar Lo, Lecho Tzie B'meishan. Shmuel says, no, that Reuven can pay me back in zuzim. Zuzim aren't usable here, but they're usable in Meishan. So most of Meishan are just a made up name of a place. Right? So far, place, meaning go take them to Meishan and use them there. So we'll say, so apparently what Shmuel says, is that halacha lemaisa, again, as long as the currency is usable somewhere, Reuven can give me back that money. Even though what? That currency is not usable where we are right now. Amazing. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman says, Mistabra milsa de Shmuel de islay orcha lemeza lemeshan. So Rav Nachman comes along and says, I only think Shmuel holds that when what? When the person who's owed the money normally goes to Meshan. If the person who is owed the money never goes to Meishan, then the person who is paying the money doesn't have the right to pay him in currency that's not usable here. So as Rabbi says, so what we have over here is the following. Machlok is Rav and Shmuel. So I give him a ton of wheat with the condition that he's going to pay me back 100 zuzim. In the interim, the zuz is taken out of circulation in our locale. So what does Reuven have to pay me back with? Rav says he's got to pay me the equivalent of zuzim that work, that are usable currency in this locale. Shmuel says no, he can pay me back in zuzim as long as what? As long as zuzim are usable somewhere. Now that's somewhere, so Meishan. So comes along Rav Nachman and says, but one second, Shmuel only says that if what? If it's normal for me to travel to Meishan. But if it's not normal for me to travel to Meishan, then what? Then Enochinami would appear that Shmuel would agree with Rav, that Reuven has to pay me back in usable currency. So says the Gemara, Eisvei, Rav Lo Rav Nachman. So Rav raised the hashat to Rav Nachman. Ein mechalalin ala mo'o she'inam yotzo. So what's this interesting? Meiser Sheni. So what's remember, Meiser Sheni could be deconsecrated, ultimately again onto money. So remember again, I am Ma'aser Sheni. I don't want to take it to Yerushalayim. I could deconsecrate the Ma'aser Sheni on money. I take the money to Yerushalayim and I spend the money in Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says, Ketzad, what's the case? I'm sorry, in Mechalel al Moshe and Yozos, you can't deconsecrate Ma'aser Sheni on money, Rabbi Osai. In She'enam Yotzos means, Rashi says, She'enam Yotzos, Klab Yushayim, the Lav Kesef Tzura Karina Bey. So Rabbi Osai, you can't deconsecrate Ma'aser Sheni on money that can't be used in Yerushalayim. Okay, says the Gemara case, and what's the case? Hayulo Ma'os, Kozivios, Yerushalmios. Rabbi Osai, if you had, now this is actually interesting, Kozavios Yerushalmios, Rabbi Osai, is a reference to ancient coins. Now, what type of ancient coins? Look at Rashi. Kozavios, Matbea Shal Ben Koziba. Rabbi Osai, listen to this. In the days of Bar Kokhba, they minted coins. They minted Bar Kokhba currency. Rabbi Osai, that's how much they believed it. Bar Kiva and others believed that Bar Kokhba really could have been a Mashiach. They minted Bar Kokhba currency. So Rabbi Osai, if you find ancient Jerusalemite Bar Kokhba currency, so we'll say, so that is not going to work. In other words, it's incredible to find that, but Lamaisa again, such a coin, you cannot use for deconsecration of Ma'aser Sheni. Why? Because I will say it's not usable in Yerushalayim. Oh, Shel Malachim Arishonim. Similarly, again, we'll say if you find, you know, your Ravam Ben Nevat currency, you find your Shafat currency, so that's not going to work because that currency is too outdated in Mechalalim. So we'll say you can't deconsecrate Ma'aser Sheni on that type of money. But interestingly, Hashal Achronim, Dumio Derishon Mechalalim. But I will say if you find latter currency that is similar to earlier currency, you can use it for Ma'aser Sheni deconsecration. I will say, now what does this mean? Look at Rashi. Hashal Achronim. The nafki b'medina acheres, the dumya derishonimu bekach de nyotis kandem komeno shabal abayis shnipsul bekan. What do we see? We see that if you were to find ancient currency or earlier currency, that's what? I should say, if you were to find latter currency that Rabbi Osai may not be usable here, but is usable in other places, you can use it for Ma'aser Sheni deconsecration. Look at Rashi, Mechalalin. Va'af agav delesli orcha lahasam b'makom shiyotin, shay b'yushalayim tzarech leilech, ulo tzian. V'kashlu Rav Nachman aliba d'shvol, d'amar ava lesli orcha l'meisrael. So let's listen to this. What the Gemara seems to be saying is the following. What can't you use for Ma'aser Sheni deconsecration? Coins that can't be used anywhere. So let's say if you find the Bar Kokhba coin, so as great as an archaeological find it is, that's great. Go try to use it at 7 Mile. It's not going to get you very far, right? So you have to use Ma'aser Sheni money that can be used just for transactional purposes. But if you find currencies that may not be usable here where you are, but they're usable elsewhere, then that's suitable currency for Ma'aser Sheni deconsecration. Now, Bosai, why is this shaila on Rav Nachman? Because Rav Nachman said that currency that works somewhere else but doesn't work in your present location is fine, is usable as long as what? You normally travel to that other location. But if you don't normally travel to that other location, then what? Then this currency is not good. But yet, that's not what the Braisa says over here. The Braisa indicates to us that even if I don't travel to this other faraway place, as long as the money is technically usable, what? What? Somewhere. Even if I'm not going to venture to that somewhere, that's proper currency. Proper currency, again, that it could be used for Ma'aser Sheni deconsecration. So I'm really hoping, which Rav Nachman responds, I'm asking, what's the case? Shein malchios makpidos zu al zu. The case must be where what? Rav Nachman will say, is where the monarchies are not makpid one another. So we'll say that what? You can move currency from one place to another. Okay, say nachinami, if you could move currency from one place to another, then ain't nachinami, as long as the currency works somewhere, then lemaisa again you'll be able to use it in other places. Elaki Amar Shmuel. So we'll say that's because look at Rashi. Elaki Amar Rav Nachman Aliba de Shmuel de Chiles le Orcha le Meishan Lo. So listen, Elaki Amar Shmuel. So we'll say, is that to say? The Gemara says that to say when Shmuel said his statement, Kishmalchios Machpidos Zuazu. Is that to say that Shmuel's case is talking about a situation where the kingdoms are Machpid on one another? If that's the case, Hechi Matzi Mimati Lahu. That's the case of Osei, that Malchios, that kingdoms are makbid on one another, then how can you ever move currency? So Osei, because even the Malchios, even the kingdoms are makbid on one another, you could move currency, albeit with a bit difficulty. Why? So the Gemara says, because they both say, even when Malchios are makbid, sometimes they're not searching you for foreign currency at the checkpoints. So therefore, you could get it across the borders. The machshi kapti, but Rabbi say enachinami, if they would go ahead and find it on you, then enachinami. Then enachinami, that's what? Then enachinami, they would take the money from you. Therefore, if you're the kind of person that normally goes to Meishan, you'll find a way to smuggle the money there. And therefore, as long as ultimately, again, the currency would be usable in some place, then lemaisa ultimately it would work. So we'll say what comes out over here is the following. What comes out is, according to Shmuel, the halacha seems to be that as long as, again, remember, Shmuel's from a very specific case. I sold wheat to Reuven, the agreement he was going to pay me in a specific type of currency, that currency is discontinued. What does Reuven pay me back in? So Rav says he's got to pay me back in the kind of currency that's usable here. Shmuel says no, that as long as Lemaisa, he pays me back in the currency that we agreed upon, as long as that currency is what? Is usable somewhere, and as long as I could go ahead and get that currency to that place in some way, Rosa means either it could be because I normally travel there, even if I don't normally travel there, but what? There's a way for me to get that currency from here to there, then enachinami, that is a valid form of repayment. And I will say that would be the same ultimately again with my sasheni deconsecration as well. I could deconsecrate my sasheni on any type of currency as long as what? That currency, A, is usable somewhere, and B, I can get that currency to that place in some way. Says the Gemara Tashma, in Mechalal al Ma'os, so we'll say another interesting case of Ma'os Hashemi. In Mechalal al Ma'os Shalkan Behin Babalal. I will say, now, just so you understand the wording of this Bryce over here, Khan means Eretz Yisrael. So you can't go ahead, let me just clarify this case. So I will say, the case over here is, the Ma'os Hashemi is in Babel. The Ma'os Hashemi is in Babel. Behin Babalal means Ma'os Hashemi is in Babel. I want, and I'm in Babel, obviously, with my Ma'os Hashemi. But yet I have Shkalim with me, right? I have Eretz Yisrael money with me in Babel. So the Braisa rules, you can't deconsecrate Ma'os Hashemi in Babel with Eretz Yisrael money. With Eretz Yisrael money. I will say, now look at Rashi for just a moment. What's Laji? Ein Mechalin Amos Shalkan Behin Babel. So Rashi says over here, Ein Mechalin Ma'os Hashemi Amos Shalkan Yerushalayim Va'amos Va'abailin Babel. So I will say, in this case over here, the money together with the Ma'aser Sheni and the person is in Babel. It's Eretz Yisrael Dika money. Hoyo ve'inon yotzos miyad b'makom shehein. Deba'inon matzi biyadecha v'leka. So we'll say, so what the Bryce is telling me over here is the following. This Bryce goes against what we just learned earlier. So the Bryce is telling me over here that's what? That if I'm in Babel, my Ma'aser Sheni is in Babel, I want to deconsecrate my Ma'aser Sheni with Eretz Yisrael currency. I can't do that. Why? Because the halacha for Ma'aser Sheni deconsecration, Rabbi Osai, is what? Is that the money used for deconsecration has to be immediately usable at the moment of deconsecration. So because I'm deconsecrating it in Babel, and I'm doing it with Eretz Yisrael money, it's not going to work because Eretz Yisrael money is not usable in Babel. Similarly, B'shal Babel Behin Kan. Rabbi Osai, similarly again, if I'm in Eretz Yisrael with my Ma'aser Sheni, and I have Babylonian money, I can't deconsecrate the Ma'aser Sheni and Babylonian money. Same idea. Why? Because the funds are not immediately usable. Shal Babel Behin Babel. Rabbi Osai, listen to this. Let's say I'm in Babel with my Ma'aser Sheni, and I want to deconsecrate Ma'aser Sheni with what? With what? With Babylonian money. So we'll say here, I'm in Babel, my Sheni's in Babel, Babel money for deconsecration. Mechalin, and we'll say that works. Katani Mihas, so what do we see from here? In Mechalin Amo Shalkan Behin Babel. So we'll say what we see from here is that what? So we'll say, now here's the part that intrigues us, which is the Kasha. We were told that if I'm in Babel with my Maestro Sheni, I can't deconsecrate my Maestro Sheni on Eretz Yisrael money. They're both saying, now why is that a Kasha for us? Afagav the Sofa Lamesak Lahasam. They're both saying, what did we just get finished saying? We just got finished saying that any type of money that I'm going to be able to use somewhere and I'm going to be able to get there is proper form of payment. If that's the case, Rabbi Osai, then if I'm in Babel with my Ma'aser Sheni and I want to deconsecrate my Ma'aser Sheni on Eretz Yisrael Dika money, that should work. Why? Why? I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. I don't know that I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. Because I have to be Ma'aser Sheni in Yerushalayim. So why can't I deconsecrate my Ma'aser Sheni in Bavel using Eretz Yisrael Dika money, knowing with absolute certainty that I'm going to Eretz Yisrael? Oh, to which the Gemara says, Kishemachios makpidos zuazur. We'll say, oh, because we'll say this is a case where what? Where the governments are makbid on each other. If the governments are makbid on each other, then what Rabbi say? I will not be able to get Eretz Yisrael money across the border. So there's a technical issue over here. The technical issue is you can't move foreign currencies. That's why, again, I can't deconsecrate the Maaser Sheni ultimately on Eretz Yisrael money. So Mar says, one second, Ihaki, if that's the case, Shabbava Vehim Bava Lamai Chazu. Well, say if that's the case, then what about the other case? Where what? Where I have, I'm in Bavel, my Maaser Sheni's in Bavel, I'm deconsecrating my Babylonian money, I'm deconsecrating my Maaser Sheni to Babylonian money. I should also have a problem. Why, Rabbosai? Because what am I going to do with it? I mean, again, Rabbosai, remember, Malchios Makpidos Zuazu goes both ways. It means in Bavel, they don't want you having Eretz Yisrael currency, and in Eretz Yisrael, they're not allowing what? Babylonian currency. So what are you going to do with that money? Oh, the Zabin Bahu Behema O Masik Yushan. We'll say the difference is that when you deconsecrate the money, remember we'll say, why were people deconsecrating Maaser Sheni onto money? Why would you do that? Because if you have Baruch Hashem a lot of bounty, it's a lot to schlep. So we'll say, listen to this. What I can do is I can deconsecrate my Maaser Sheni to Babylonian money. And what? When I get to the border, I can go ahead and use that money now to what? To purchase livestock and stuff. So at least I'm still going to have to schlep it a little bit. Not schlep it, because Maaser Sheni. I'm going to have to transport it, but I have to transport it much less of the way. I've had Tanya, but we learned, Hiskinu Shiva Amos Yosef V'Yushalayim Ipnei Kach. Rabbi said, this is amazing. B'yet Chazal instituted, Rabbi said, that what? Look at Rashi. V'Hiskinu, V'atan Yiskinu, V'amai Tanya Le'el, V'lo Al Shababel, V'hin Kan. Rabbi said, they made a takana that Yerushalayim vendors have to accept all types of currency. Amazing, right? They always had money changers in Yerushalayim. So we'll say, what's the pshat? Because we'll say, you have to understand, in Yerushalayim, you always had people coming from all over. So the rabbis instituted that ultimately, again, they have to go ahead and accept all money. So we'll say, if you're telling me now that it's Malchios Makpido Zuazu, which means you can't move foreign currency into Eretz Yisrael. If you can't move foreign currency into Eretz Yisrael, then what? Then why was there a need for Chazal to make a takana in Yerushalayim? They have to accept all types of currencies. To which the Gemara says, "Amar Rabzir lo kasha, kan bizman sheyad Yisrael takifa lo umos ha'olam, kan bizman sheyad umos om takifa al atzman." So we'll say, different times, when Klal Yisrael, when we were the dominant regional force. So ultimately, again, yes, we allowed foreign currencies were coming everywhere, and we actually were able to legislate to allow, ultimately, again, other currencies to come into Eretz Yisrael. And that's where, again, there was a takana in Yerushalayim that says, vendors, you need to accept all types of currencies. So I will say, if that's the case, that's why even a guy who's deconsecrating his Maaser Sheni in Bavan Babylonian money, absolutely no problem. No problem. But when Eretz Yisrael was not the dominant regional force and other kingdoms had their own rules, they legislated against foreign currencies. And at that point, Rabbosai, again, they were unable to use foreign currencies in Eretz Yisrael as well. Incredible. Rabbosai, let's just finish off with a beautiful, beautiful Agarato. Tan Rabbanon, Eizuhu Matbea Shal Yerushalayim. So Rabbosai, ultimately, what is this Matbea? What was the coinage of Jerusalem? Listen to how beautiful this is. David Ushlom Mitzad Echad, V'Yerushalayim Irat Kodesh Mitzad Echad. Can you imagine having that coin in your pocket? David Ushlom, Rashi points out, it wasn't their images, but rather it was their names. Their names, David and Shlomo, were on one side, and the image of Yerushalayim was on the back. Irat Kodesh Mitzad Echad. V'Yizu Matbeir Shal Avram Avinu. And Rabbi say, Avram Avinu also had his own coin. What was the coin of Avram Avinu? So beautiful. What was his coin? Listen to how beautiful this is. Zakin Uzekina Mitzad Echad. It was an old man and an old woman on one side. V'Ubachar Ubesula Mitzad Acher. And a young man and a young woman on the other side. Rabbi say, I'll just end off with this. What's the symbolism of that coin? So you know, the interesting part, Avram Avinu and Sarah Iminu both have an interesting eulogy given by the Torah. So by Sarah Iminu, it's Vayuchaye Sarah, Me'ashana, Ve'eshim Shana, Ve'sheva Shanim. These are the days of Sarah Iminu, 100 years, 20 years, 7 years. So Rashi HaKadosh has a beautiful limud that at 100, At 100, she was like 20 in that she was free from sin. At 20, she was like 7 in terms of beauty. Her beauty was an innocent beauty. So Rav Soloveitchik has a beautiful insight. And he says it actually in two places. There's another, actually, it's the Netziv who brings it down in the first place. By Avram Avinu, it says, Va'avram Zakin, also in Chai Sara, Va'avram Zakin ba bayomim. Avram Zakin ba bayomim. Avram Avinu was old, he came with his days. So Rashi HaKadosh understands that ba bayomim means he was very old. So the Netziv brings down, no, ba bayomim means, I'm giving you the condensed version, ba bayomim means that he came with his days, that Avram Avinu aged gracefully. People say, what does it mean in Judaism to age gracefully? It doesn't mean you don't have gray, or you don't have hair, right? It doesn't mean that you don't have wrinkles. That's not, those are not things. Aging gracefully, people say, sometimes when people get older, they spend all of their time lamenting what they were able to do in their youth. Oh, when I was young, I could get out of the car. Now I can't, And they spend their time lamenting about what they can no longer do. So aging gracefully, says the Netziv, is yes, we recognize that at every stage of life, you're often not able to replicate what you did at earlier stages, but you find the meaning in that particular stage. Ba bayomim means Avram Avinu found meaning in every stage of life. Says the Rav, what does it mean? Vayuchai Sarah Mea Shana, Eshim Shana, B'sheva Shana. The greatness of Sarah Imenu is when she was 100, was she able to do when she was 20? Of course not. When she was 10, was she able to do when she was 7? Of course not. But she found beautiful meaning in every different stage in life. We'll say perhaps that's the pshat. What was the coin of Avram Avinu? The coin of Avram Avinu was the double-sided coin. Was the elderly couple on the front, the young couple on the back. But here's the beautiful part. The elderly couple were no less vital than the young one. The elderly couple were no less vibrant and were no less impactful than the young one. Because life is not about always being able to do the same things all of the time. Life is about maximizing and extracting the maximum amount of meaning and impact at every single different stage. That was the coinage, that was the mantra, that was the symbolism of Avram and Sarah being ba bayom. And I will say it's an incredible yisod, especially again as another year goes by. As another year goes by, sometimes we lament the time that we've lost, and sometimes for good reason. But it's important to recognize that even if certain chapters of life have passed us by and are now closed, our goal is not to spend our lives reflecting on the past. Our goal ultimately, again, is to maximize our present. That was the coin of Avram Avinu, and that's ultimately the mantra for our life. For both of us, just spend 2 minutes learning a little bit of Shari Tshuva, and then everyone will go on for their day. Amen.